Blog Talk Radio.
Trust in God wherever you go, wherever you be, you ought to trust in God. He won't let you fall. No, trust in my God each and every day.
Welcome to First Baptist Bible Study, First Baptist of Holly Springs. We welcome you to this power hour of Bible study. I want to welcome all of the officers of First Baptist, all of the disciples of First Baptist. We thank you so very much for joining us today for this power hour of Bible study. Although we have not been able to be with you because of this virus that has plagued the land, I want you to know that First Lady Rogers and I have been praying for you. We pray that you are at home and that you are safe. I want to thank all of you who have done so much work to make First Baptist what it is. I want to thank the chairman of our deacon board, Deacon Taylor, chairman of our trustee board, Trustee Lunsford, and all of those who have worked so diligently for First Baptist Church. I want to thank all of the great families that are part of this church. We pray God's blessing upon you. Beloved, we are in perilous times. Because of this virus, we are not able to meet at the church. However, this is our effort to bring the church to you. The Bible speaks of these times. There in the book of Ecclesiastes, it says that there is a time to gather stones and a time to cast off stones, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. This is the dispensation of time that we are in right now, the refraining from embracing. How long will it last? Only God knows. But one thing we do know is that God is still in control and he governs our lives. So we welcome you to the Bible study. And we pray God's blessing upon you. Before we start, I'd like to take a little time to tell you something about First Baptist. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina. Our normal, I say normal, church schedule begins at Sunday at 9:30 with Sunday school. Praise and worship begins at 10:45. And of course, our morning worship is at 11 o'clock. Our normal time for Bible study is Tuesday night from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. When this virus is over, we pray that you will be a part of First Baptist. Come and visit us and be a part of the First Baptist experience. We would love to hear from you. I'd like to welcome those of you who will follow me on my Gospel Gold program. You may be listening as well. We thank God for you if you are listening today. So we want to go right into the lesson, but before we go into the lesson, we always start with prayer. If you don't mind, pray with me. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this time. We are praying for those who are going through right now. Because of this virus, there have been those who have lost their lives, and there are people who are in the hospital sick. Touch them, Lord. Let them know, God, that you are still on the throne. We pray for First Baptist of Holly Springs and churches everywhere that you will allow your healing hand to be over us and watch over us as we continue to give you the praise and glorify your holy name. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Now let's go into the lesson. 1 Thessalonians. If you have your Bibles, would you turn with me, please, to 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter of Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. I'm going to be reading from the King James Version. You may have a different version. But as long as the book says the Holy Bible, you got the right book. Thessalonians, the first chapter. Got it? Paul and Silvanus and Timothy unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you, always mentioning you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. In the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost, and in such assurance as we know that manner of man we were among you for your sake. And ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction and joy of the Holy Ghost, so that ye may be examples to all that believe in Macedonia and Arcadia. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Arcadia, but also in every place your faith to God is spread abroad, so that we need not be speaking anything. For they themselves show us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for the Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Our lesson is entitled Visible for God. Is your faith visible for God? Thessalonica was a prosperous port and center of trade in the region of Macedonia, the northwestern part of the Greek peninsula. Like most of the cities of this kind, it was filled with all kinds of people and all kinds of beliefs. Economically, there was a wide gap between the rich merchants and the poor laborers. Socially, powerful pressure to conform to established standards. Religiously, there were many followers of pagan cults. Some encouraged grossly immoral practices, but also a notable number of faithful Jewish worshipers of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Paul first visited the city on what he called the second missionary journey, his preaching there led many to believe in Jesus, but also provoked persecution. Paul was forced to leave after only a short time. The new believers were left alone to face the pressures of their environment. The question was, would they persist in their new faith, or would they revert back to their old lives? When he was able, Paul sent his assistant Timothy to visit the Thessalonian Christians and to report back to him. Timothy visited and confirmed that the new believers were faithful and growing, though without problems. The church was demonstrating its faith through action. Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians probably just a few months after leaving the city and soon after receiving Timothy's report. He began with a thankful celebration of the Thessalonians' transforming faith, far from succumbing to the pressures of the culture. They had become examples to believers in their region and beyond. Through the centuries, their example continues to speak to us today. So Paul opens his letter with the standard Greek greeting. He says, "Unto the church of Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ." This was standard practice in the old world, ancient Greek and Rome. It was customary to begin a letter with a salutation that named the writer and the addressees, and to offer a brief greeting. Paul used the format to do the same thing. Paul introduces himself and lets them know that he's speaking directly to the church at Thessalonica. It was because of Paul's persistent preaching that the people in Thessalonica began to hear the word of God. For those who had been Greek pagans before their conversion, the word reminded them of the assemblies of citizens among the Greek government. Now they are part of an assembly that belongs to the one time and the only true God, whom they know as the Father, and who they entered into the world to save it, who sent his son Jesus Christ. So Paul greets them. And then in that second verse, he says, "We give thanks to God always for you, making mention of you in our prayers." Following the greeting in Greek, the letter comes to a word of thanksgiving, which Paul begins here. But Paul's thanksgiving is no mere formality. It goes to great lengths to describe exactly why he thanked God consistently for the Thessalonian Christians. These believers are not just people whom Paul happened to know, but these people were of the utmost importance to him as followers and members of God's family. That reality is reflected in the constant prayer on their behalf. He says to them, as soon as Paul begins to recall what he knows about the Thessalonian Christian, he focuses on their way of life and their visible difference. He says, "Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love, in patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father." Paul notes first their work of faith. Paul is well acquainted with emphasizing that faith, not works, is the base on which God gives salvation. But he also stressed that true faith always leads to action. A person who believes that Jesus is Lord will always seek to do what is honest and what pleases him. The next phrase that he uses is called the labor of love. Faith prompts action, and the love of God reinforces that prompting. The biblical God is the God of love, who shows his love by giving his son to die for unworthy sinners. His love is poured out into the hearts of those who believe in him, and they in turn share that love with others. Biblical love is not just a sentiment or a feeling. It is a powerful impulse to act for the benefit of others, even when the action is costly. And then Paul says, thirdly, the patience of hope. He used the word hope for things that we are uncertain about. We always say, "I hope this happens," or "I hope that happens." But in the New Testament, however, hope always expresses confidence based on the character and the power of God. Believers in Christ can have assurance about the future, knowing that God loves them and is faithful and powerful to deliver what he has planned. In the end, God has promised that Christ will return for all of us, all of his people. Believers can be confident that the powerful God who we love and whom we serve is able to finish his saving work in us. That confidence is our hope. That confident hope is the basis for the persistent faith. This word suggests that not just passively waiting, but actively enduring hardship and suffering, Christians are able to bear up under the burdens of life, even persecution, for their faith sustains them, and their faith gives them the power to believe. Many years ago, there was a toy that was made called Transformers, where it started out as one thing, and then it transformed into another. And then Paul turns his attention to transformation. You see, Paul does not deny that evil forces are still in the world at work to destroy the good. Far from it. However, Paul focuses on the transforming that occurred in the lives of the Thessalonians. Because of the gospel, their lives have become characterized by faithful good works, the diligence with which their love for God was shown to others, and the unwavering hope based on the Lord Jesus Christ. So he says in verse 4, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. He simply means that the Thessalonians' transformed behavior is nothing less than the result of their new standing of God in Jesus Christ. Here Paul refers to their election, that is, God's choice of them as his people. Thessalonians believe now they belong to God as his chosen people, just as Israel belonged to him in the Old Testament times. This reminds us that salvation is eternally God's initiative. God planned from the beginning to save sinners by sending his son. He declares that people belonging to him on the basis of their faith and what he has done, the steadfast work of God's people and their response to what God has done is never an effect to earn, for you cannot pay God back for the great things that he has done for you. For our gospel comes not only unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as you know what manner of men we were among you for your sake. Just as today the world of the New Testament was filled with competing religions and philosophies, they had various religions at that time. Paul here reminds the Thessalonians that they witnessed the gospel's power when Paul first brought the message to them. It was not a word-only message. This message was accompanied by evidence in truth and authority. The Holy Ghost is that authority. Paul here, by referring, says that if you saw who we were and how we acted, then you pick that up and you begin to see the power that God placed in us, and you begin to do the same thing. Are you visible for God? Are you making your faith visible, or are you keeping it to yourself? Part of that change is confidence in the truth of the gospel message. Thessalonica had probably seen its share of traveling religious leaders who cared more about money than they did about the truth of the message. Paul reminds us that he and his associates were different. Their deep commitment to their message was demonstrated by the life that they lived. They worked to support themselves, spoke boldly despite persecution, and demonstrated with personal sacrifice their sincere love. They were examples of the Thessalonians of the transformation that the gospel brings to those who trust and serve the Lord. Then in verse 6, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. The Christ whom Paul preached is also the Christ whom Paul followed. His Christ-centered message came both through his words and the way he lived his life. He reminded the Thessalonian believers that they saw something powerful in the lives of those Christian missionaries, something that matched the message that they heard. So they committed to the same kind of life and following Paul, they followed the Lord whom Paul follows. Beloved, many people may not come to a church. They may never be a part of a church assembly. And the only way they're going to know about God is to watch those of us who claim the name of Jesus Christ. They watch us to see who we are. If they see good works and good faith in us, they will emulate us and be a part of God's chosen people. As a result, these new believers had new understanding of who God was. And even though they suffered for their faith, they understood that this was more powerful than anything that they'd ever seen. That understanding enabled the new believers to receive and endure persecution with joy. Suffering is never fun, but knowing that we stand together with other believers and with Christ himself reminds us that our suffering is not meaningless or random. The Holy Spirit enables believers to endure persecution with joy. There is no greater demonstration of the transforming power of the gospel than for believers to reflect the Spirit, joy, and suffering. If you're going to talk the talk, you got to walk the walk. And so Paul says to them, so that ye were examples to all that believe in Macedonia and in Arcadia. The Thessalonian Christians may think of themselves as a small, insignificant group of people, but they were a vital part of God's plan to reclaim the world. Their faith is now known well beyond their own city. Just as they imitated the faith of Paul, now others are imitating their faith. Macedonia is the region of northern Greece, of which Thessalonica is the capital. We know from Acts 16 and Acts 17 that Paul has also made converts in Philippi and also in Berea, other cities of Macedonia. We can also assume that the gospel was spread through some of those early believers to smaller towns in the surrounding region. Arcadia is a region of Greece, the south of Macedonia. And Paul had also preached there in that city. For whom you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia, but in Arcadia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not speak of anything. In short, what Paul was saying is that when we got to other places to preach Jesus Christ, they already knew about him. They already knew about the Thessalonian church. They already had seen the great, powerful, miraculous work that God had done in that church. And so the word spread. It went all over that region. And Paul is saying, when we got to various cities and we began to preach, they said, wait a minute, we've already heard it. The people from Thessalonica have already told us and have already shown us of the power of this great God. In fact, Paul says their reputation has spread beyond their region. Everywhere the gospel is preached, people are learning about the Thessalonian believers. Even today, we're sitting here reading Thessalonians. This happened over 2,000 years ago, but we're still talking about that great church. Why? Because not only did they hear the word, they acted on the word. It transformed their lives. And they not only became hearers of the word, but doers of the word. And when you become a doer of the word, beloved, you become someone to be emulated, someone to be looked at, looked upon as a person who has changed their lives. What a great joy it is to know that God can change you no matter who you are, no matter where you've come from, no matter what you have done in the past. Jesus is standing with his arms wide open, and if you accept him, he will make a change in your life. Look at verse 9. For they themselves showed us of what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how ye turned to God from idols to serve the living true God. Paul says that the story of the Thessalonian believers is so widely known that he hears about it before he can even tell it. Specifically, the Thessalonian story is about their forsaking of idols and practicing idol worship. There are many people who still practice idol worship. I will not go into detail about that, but beloved, if you're not worshiping God, if you're not giving God your all in all, then perhaps you may want to reevaluate who you are. The pagan people of this period worship idols, not only of love and gratitude and awe, but they worship these idols to placate their own self-whims and their own rights. In other words, they would pray to these gods, hoping these gods would give them something. These pagan people were worshiping idols not only just out of gratitude, but because they thought that they would get favors in return. Paul says the Thessalonians serve the living and true God. God is often called the living God, in contrast with idols, which have no life at all. So Paul talks about the true and living God. That true and living God is the only God. It's the only God that we have that can save our lives and give us strength to keep on keeping on. So Paul here deals with this. He talks about the contrast between idol worshipers and God worshipers. Idol worshipers have nothing to look forward to. They have no experience, nothing to be compensated by, no realization, no power. But those who believe and the true living God are the ones who have hope, who have salvation, and those who know no matter what you may go through, God will bring you out. When confronted with violent criminal behavior, and when we're confronted by the effects of the world that we live in today, we cannot be deterred. We cannot be downhearted, for we know that God is still on the throne. And if you serve the true and living God, then you know that no weapon formed against you, no matter what it would be, whether it be sickness or financial problems or heartache, no matter what the problem is, God is able to solve it. So we ought to be examples. We ought to be the ones who let the world know that we serve the true and living God. In verse 10, he says, and to wait for the Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus delivered us from the wrath to come. These new believers now have a different expectation of the future. They have a hope, a hope that impels them to be steadfast. Their hope is in the very Son of the one true living God. He has died and risen again on their behalf, and promised to return to gather them to himself. The rest of the world still is rebelling against God. Will they be subject to his wrath, his holy judgment against those who rebel against him? But the believers expectantly await their Lord's arrival to deliver them from wrath and to bless them as his people. Paul describes the Christian faith as more than mere ritual. It embraces every aspect of life, bringing purpose and direction and confidence. It transforms ordinary people into world changers. It gives meaning to the most mundane of daily affairs. It provides assurance that the future contains boundless blessings. Knowing Jesus Christ makes us the people of God intended us to be, living us as God has intended for us to live. These changes should be public. These changes should be visible. And these changes should be unmistakable. It continues in our life. Is your faith visible? Are you visible to God? Have you shown what God has done for you? Not just in word, but in the way you live your life. Paul wants to know that. Paul wants to know how we have transformed because of our faith. Paul writes to the Thessalonians because he wants them to understand that no matter what they have gone through, they have done a good job. And I tell you today, beloved, many of our churches are doing the same thing. Some of them are doing great work for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. They are transforming the lives of those who they come in contact. Their behavioral lifestyle has changed. You can tell whether someone has been changed by the gospel by the lifestyle that they live. You can tell if someone has been changed by the gospel, by the words that they use. You can tell if someone has been changed by the gospel, by the actions that they do. Everybody that says, Lord, Lord, is not in the Lord, Lord. But only those who have been transformed by the renewing power of God's grace, only those are the ones that God will come back for in the end. This New Testament scripture is a great reminder of all the great things that God has done for us. And not only that, he wants us to understand that God's work in us is not finished. God is still working in us and around us. And God is still working in the world. No matter what we hear on the news. And beloved, I just want to take some time to say, don't look at the news all day long. There is no good news. Don't sit and look at the CNN all day long. For the gospel of Jesus Christ is more powerful than that. And no matter what they say on TV, no matter what they say in the newspaper, no matter what they say in Washington, D.C., God is still in control. This power of the Holy Spirit reminding us that they were witnesses of miracles that were performed through the Spirit's power. And all of us have been witnesses of the miracle of Jesus Christ. You know who you were before you came to Christ, and it's nothing short of miraculous that he has changed you to who you are. So we thank God for his blessing upon us and the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. But not only that, Paul reminds us that we ought to have a reputation, a good reputation, that when folks speak your name, they ought to have something good to say about you. They ought to have something to brag about you. You ought to have a good reputation. If you're who you say you are, then your reputation should precede you. People should know who you are before you even walk in the room. They have heard about you. They have heard of the great faith that you have. And because of that, they know who you are. Not only is the great reputation needed for all of us, but he wants us to know that the future is still in his hands. And God still has the power to transform the future. The bleak hopelessness of paganism had taken over the Old Testament church. And today, but gone were the expectations of those religions. Only through Christ did people begin to understand that if anything good was going to happen in the world, it was going to happen through him and not through paganism or worshiping idol gods. And beloved, as I said earlier, there are still people who worship idol gods. May not be the idol gods that they had in the Old Testament. We have some new idol gods today. But people are still worshiping things other than God. Paul wants us to know that God is still the God of the future, the transforming God of the future. And God is changing the world as we see it. Life will no longer be as it was before this virus. Life will no longer be as it was before all of the deaths and sickness has occurred. God is still transforming the world as we speak. And because God is still moving, and because God is still transforming, it behooves us then to continue to move and continue to transform, to get better and better as a child of God. You ought to have a different walk than you had 10 years ago, a better understanding than you had 20 years ago, and better love than you had 30 years ago. I often said at First Baptist, if you've been in the church for over 30 years, you're the same old angry person that you were before, I suggest something is wrong with your faith. Go into the Bible, pray, and ask God to remove whatever it is that's keeping you from being who he wants you to be. And not only that, but Paul here talks about a change for a lifetime. This change is from now on. Paul described the Christian faith as more than just mere ritual. It embraces every aspect of life, bringing purpose and direction and confidence. It transforms ordinary people into world changers. Beloved, God put the church here to change the world, not for the world to change the church. I believe I got an amen on that one. But God placed the church to change the world. And the church today must find a way to change the lifestyle and to change the world and the way the world thinks. Because only through Christ will we all be saved. Our faith is like a light unto the world. Bible said a city set upon a hill cannot be hid. If you are truly a child of God, then truly you know that God's blessing is for you. And you know that God's transforming power can make a difference in your life. We want to, at this time, open the lines. There may be some who are on the line who would like to speak to us in the studio. I do have at least three people on the line. If you are on the line and you would like to speak, you just press the number one. And that will let me know that you are available to speak. If you press the number one, that will let me know that you are available to speak. I'm going to go to the phone line and open up the mic. Area code 919. The last four digits are 8096. Would you like to say something? All right. I'll go to the next number. 919. Last four digits, 2161. Would you like to say something? Hello?
Hey, Pastor Rogers.
Hello, how are you? Who is this?
Hey, this is Joanne Griffith.
Oh, how you doing, Sister Griffith?
I'm doing fine. I just want to say thank you for doing this. I need it.
Well, I thank you so very much for listening. We could not be at the church, so this is my effort to bring the church to you. Hopefully we will be able to come back again very soon so we can see one another and be a part of the assembly together. Are you all right?
I'm doing fine. Our family's doing fine. We did have a death in the family, but a first cousin, but we're all right with it.
Well, we praise God for that. We thank God for that. We know that a lot of people are going through at this time. We pray God's blessing upon you, and we know that God is going to make a way for you. All right?
Yes, sir. Thank you so very much.
Thank you so much for listening. I'm going to go to another line. Maybe you would like to say something. 910, last four digits are 2208. Would you like to say something? 2208.
It's Pastor Rogers. I'm here. This is Minister Lester.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. I enjoyed the Bible study. It was good to hear your voice through your teaching on Bible study. I really enjoyed it. It was a blessing. And I just thank God because I was sitting here. My daddy's having surgery today, and I'm sitting here at the hospital because I can't actually be there, but I just wanted to be there. And it's good to be focused on the word while you're waiting. And, you know, I just thank God the word was good, and that's what my desire is to be a light and let people know that the lifestyle I live, let them know that that I've been changed by the word of God, that I'm a believer. The words that I use, I want them to know that I'm a believer, that, you know, Christ is in my life, and I just thank for the word that you gave us today.
Well, thank you so much. You say your father's going into surgery now?
Actually, he's going into surgery now. It started. They took him down at about 11:30, and my sister just called and said they just called her and said they pushed him off. They're getting ready to start it now. So I said, well, I can't be in there, but I can definitely be sitting out here in the parking lot, and I can be in prayer as close as I can be to him.
Let's pray. Our Father, our God, you have just heard and understood that Minister Lester's father is going into the operating room right now. We ask God that you will allow your spirit to be there with him. Touch his body, O Lord. Guide the surgeon's hand as he operates on him today. Give him peace and give him understanding, God, to know that he's in good hands. We pray, God, for healing in the family. We pray, God, for understanding in the family and love in the family. Take this man, God, mold him. You made him. You know every hair on his head. Bless him while he's going through right now. And give the family comfort, God, that whatever happens, that you are still in control. We bless your name today, and we leave him in your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for listening. All right, I'm going to go and see if anybody else wants to say anything before I finish. All right? Last three digits are 919-8096. Would you like to say something?
Yes, Reverend Rogers.
Who is this?
This is Miss Mangum.
Oh, Trustee Mangum, how are you? Before you say anything,
I'm good, and
you.
I really enjoyed that Bible study today.
Well, Trustee Mangum, I want to thank you for all the work that you do in First Baptist. You are a guiding light in the church, and I may not say it often enough, and there may be others who may get jealous, but that's all right. I want you to know I appreciate you. I want you to know
thank
that.
Thank you.
And how is your family doing?
Everyone's doing well.
Good, good.
And I'm going to be praying for Minister Lester's father.
Yes.
Having surgery.
Amen.
Yes. Praise
Amen.
God. Everything will come out good.
Good. Thank you so much. We are all praying for Minister Lester's father. We know that he has been going through over the last year or so, but we also know that God has the last word.
That's right.
Trustee Mangum, is there something that you want to add to the Bible study?
Pardon me?
Is there something that you wanted to add to the Bible study?
No. You just did such a great, great job, you know, and one of the things that really stuck out to me there was you were saying that about a person's good, great reputation.
Oh, yes.
You know, and God is still transforming, you know, world.
Yes, he is. And we need a good reputation, especially in the church. The church has taken a beating in the last few years. No doubt there are people in the church who are not right. No doubt there are leaders in the church who are not right. But the church itself has taken a beating because of those unscrupulous people who have been in the church. But God's church still stands. Regardless of how
Amen.
Many folk come in and out of the house of God, God's church will continue to stand. We know that there are people in the house of God who are not right, but we hope and pray that one day they'll get right in God's house and stay right. And
Amen.
That God's church can be stronger and more powerful, and perhaps we can evangelize the world. We can tell the world about the saving grace of Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's right. And I have to tell this. Minister Lester and I was talking, and she was making the statement that when we go back into the church, we can't
Amen.
Go back in the way that it was. A change going to have to come about.
That's right. You know, God has a way of making us change, and maybe this is what this is. Maybe,
yes, it is.
Since we wouldn't change on our own, maybe God said, okay, I'll throw something on them.
Wake up. Oh.
That's right. Maybe so. Maybe so. I don't know the mind of God, but perhaps that's what he's done. Maybe that's what this virus is all about.
Oh, yes.
This country was founded for religious freedom, and somehow or another we have gotten away from that. Matter of fact, we scorn people who are religious, and we turn our nose up at the church of God. And perhaps this is God's way of getting our attention. Let us know
right.
that he's still in control of our lives.
That's correct.
Amen. So
Amen.
As I end this Bible study today, I want to remind you that
Reverend Rogers.
Yes, go right ahead. Uh-huh.
Reverend Rogers, this is Sister Bess. How you doing?
Sister Bess, how are you?
I'm doing good. Yeah. I just thank you for the word. I mean, it was right on time and everything because it really made me realize even though we're not in the church, I mean, we're not having Bible study, it's just amazing how God has worked this out. Thank you, Sister Jane, for even giving me the connection to be a part of the Bible study here. It's been awesome here and stuff. And I mean, it felt like we was right in Bible study here, and I just really thank God for you, Reverend Rogers. I really do. Yeah. So it's been
awesome
here.
Thank you so much,
here.
Sister Beth. Thank you. Is your family all right?
Yeah, everybody's doing good. I hadn't seen my family. I hadn't been down there because of the coronavirus and everything. But we just voted, which was strange. We just voted for our pastor here. That's going to be our pastor now.
Okay. What's his
name? Yeah. Reverend
Give him a Terrell shout out.
Bryant.
Pastor Bryant.
Yeah, Pastor Bryant. So keep them in prayer. Yeah, just keep them in prayer and stuff. It's just so much going on. Like you just said a few minutes ago, it's just some people that, you know, like I say, have been in church and they're still not being to God's word and stuff. So I just ask for your prayer on that and stuff, because it's just a time when people, even though we having this coronavirus, people are still not changing. They still have the same outlook on the way they should be, you know, serving God. So I just ask for your prayer for all those who really just need to really get deeper into the word and understand God, you know, like I said, the reason for why this is happening, you know, and stuff.
Amen.
So, but I think most of the people are still focused on the building and don't realize the church should be within us.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
So, yeah. So, Reverend,
well, thank you so much.
Roger,
I'll go right ahead.
Would you actually be doing like sermons online or anything like that? I mean, your sermons that you usually have on Sunday.
Well, we're working diligently to try to do that. If you would go to the First Baptist Facebook page, and I invite everyone to go to the First Baptist Facebook page, there you will find the link for the Bible study each week. You'll have to go there. All of the programs here on Blog Talk Radio are archived. That means that you can go back long. This program is over, and you can hear the program all over again. And I placed the link on the First Baptist Facebook page. You'll find articles that I have published there. You'll also find information about First Baptist. You'll also see videos of past services. And perhaps in the near future, you will also see some services that are recorded live in the church. Won't be anybody in there but me. Amen. But I intend on doing that as soon as I possibly can. Don't want to put anyone else's life in danger to ask them to come and film that or to sing or anything like that. So I can go by myself and perhaps I can do that. We're working on that as we speak right now.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank all of you so very much for being a part of this Bible study. This is not the only Bible study. There will be one next week. From now until the time we are able to get into the house of God, every Tuesday at 12 noon, we are going to have the Bible study Hour of Power by First Baptist of Holly Springs. We're going to have a great time in the Lord, and we hope that you will tell your friends, tell your neighbors, that Bible study is on the air. First Baptist Bible study is on the air. We thank God for all of you who are listening today. We pray God's blessing upon you. Minister Lester, are you still there?
Yes, Pastor, I'm still here.
Would you close us out in prayer?
Amen. Father God, we come before you right now in the name of Jesus. First of all, we just want to thank you for your word that you allowed us to partake of this day. Father, we thank you for the many ways that you've given us to be able to come together and connect together with one another and with you. And we lift up the servant of God. We lift up Pastor Rogers before you, the vessel that you desire to use in this day. And Father, we thank you for the wisdom that you've given him. We thank you for the knowledge that you've given him. And we thank you for inspiring him. Something different, glory to God, that your sheep may be fed. And Father, we pray, glory to God, that you continue to look over this nation, this world, hallelujah, and touch those that's been affected by coronavirus. Father, we know you to be the God that's still in control of all things. But we pray right now, as you continue to draw us even closer to you, that you continue to speak to us in ways that we've never heard you speak before. But we know, the glory to God, that in this season, it's a favorable season for your people, for you are calling us into your presence. And Father, we hear you and we come willingly. And we thank you that you be with us, glory to God, as we part, hallelujah. Glory to God. Be with us and keep us, Father. Keep us in your will and in your love. And thank you once again for allowing us to take up your word in this day. In Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank
Amen.
Jesus.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Lester, and please say hello to your family as well for me.
Amen.
Well,
I sure will. Thank you.
Well, that's it, beloved. We've come to the end of our time. We pray that you have enjoyed our Bible study. Next week, join us again right here on Blog Talk Radio as we bring the First Baptist of Holly Spring Hour of Power Bible Study. And when this coronavirus is over, we invite you to come and be a part of the First Baptist experience. We have a great time in the Lord at First Baptist. If you will enjoy yourself, come and be a part of the rich religious experience that is First Baptist of Holly Springs. Until
Amen.
We see you
Amen.
Then, God bless you is our desire.
Amen.
God bless you,
too. Try anything one time. Let's see what we can do here. Listen to this. The angel said,